I found this little story in a bunch of near-forgotten stuff left in our home by our youngest granddaughter, Margaret. It must have been a school assignment, but it recaptures the flavors of those yonder days. I'll read it. You'll just have to pretend it's her voice, since she's not here to read it for me. 'Twas the Month Before Christmas, by Margaret Reed Hutton. After Thanksgiving, the Christmas decorations in grocery stores and convenience stores start popping up. Entering a shopping mall is like entering Santa's workshop, with little elves telling patrons to have a happy holiday. For weeks and weeks, the whole country seems to be in a good mood, with thoughtful people out spending money on the friends they love. Every day, everywhere across the land, children are snooping through closets and under beds to try and find the presents for Mom and Dad. Excitement is in the air. For the Reeds, Christmas seems to go on for months. Mom and Dad have my siblings and their families over several times before the big day to make cookies and play with trains and toys received in years past. This is the perfect time to give and receive hints for gifts. The few weeks before Christmas is a great excuse to spend time with my family, just relaxing and having fun. This pre-Christmas month is probably one of the busiest months of the year as far as parties are concerned. When I was younger, I was never allowed to attend the parties my parents went to. They were adult parties. I always wondered what happened at these gatherings. Did they sit around telling dirty jokes and watching R-rated movies? Did they cuss and say foul words that I was too young to hear? Of course not. Now that I am older and allowed to attend these get-togethers, they are not quite as exciting as I had dreamed. But being young and imaginative is all part of being a child at Christmas time. I always know Christmas Day is coming soon when presents start collecting under the tree. Every few hours I check to see if any new boxes have appeared, because, of course, no box will be left unshaken. The anticipation drives me crazy, as well as my parents who keep hearing, "Can I open just one, please?" The permission is never granted, which makes the days turn into years. Gifts start coming in the mail from out-of-town relatives, and my mind, like playing in the new-fallen snow on a clear winter Saturday, is free and open to imagine what is inside the carefully wrapped packages. Christmas Eve, which has to be the longest day of the year, finally arrives. The day is spent running around town, taking care of the last-minute tasks, obtaining stocking stuffers, buying more Scotch tape since all 12 rolls have mysteriously disappeared, and going to friends' houses, picking up the gifts that were so special they needed an unfindable hiding place. Every store looks as though every 4-year-old in the country was let loose in it, and all of the salespeople feel as though every 4-year-old was let loose. Most of the mothers look frazzled, while most fathers are anxiously awaiting putting together their child's first bicycle at 2 o'clock in the morning. With my brother and sister spending the evening with their in-laws, my parents, a few close families, and I spend Christmas Eve at home in front of the fireplace, visiting and enjoying a wonderfully prepared home-cooked meal. Each of us is allowed to open one present, just to satisfy the urge of tearing into all of them. We all try to act as relaxed as possible, all the while anxiously awaiting 9 a.m. the following morning when my siblings arrive for the grand opening. At about 10 p.m., my mother, myself, and anyone else who cares to join us drive around town, seeing how other families and neighborhoods decorate for Christmas. It's fun to see neighbors try to out-twinkle and out-Santa each other. Many families are out as we are trying to expend the excess energy that is attained on this night. This tradition is a reversed parade, with the people in the cars watching proud owners of elaborately decorated houses waving at them. By midnight, we are in the elegant Cathedral of the Advent in downtown Birmingham for midnight mass. Hearing the Christmas carols and smelling the fresh pine lets me know that Christmas morning is only the Sandman away. Fighting it every step of the way, children in church fall asleep dreaming of Santa bearing their first bicycles. By some strange phenomenon, I always wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed early Christmas morning, even after a restless night's sleep. By 8 o'clock, I'm awake, brushing my teeth, feeling like my heart is about to jump out of my body and open my presents on its own. I run, jump in bed with my parents, shrieking, "Merry Christmas!" They grumble, groan, and stumble out of bed and mumble, "Merry Christmas." As the clock strikes 9 times, announcing that my loved ones should be walking in the door, the coffee has been brewed, orange juice made, and turkey put in the oven. By 9:15, and no sign of family, I pick up the phone and start calling. It never fails that my sister and her husband have overslept, and my brother and his family are still playing Santa Claus with my niece. I'm positive they do this to me on purpose, getting me back for the years I tormented them by being the typical bratty little sister. By 10 o'clock and their arrival, my parents are debating whether or not to call the ambulance about my possible cardiac arrest from the anticipation. The big day is here. The presents are opened as hugs, kisses, and thank yous are exchanged. The whole process lasts 15 minutes, and then it's all over. New clothes are put on, Christmas dinner is devoured, and naps are taken all before sunset. The thrill is gone. The moment we all have been waiting for was just that. A moment.